Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. It was another busy weekend just on the other side of the channel in France. And of course, Ligue 1 throwing up some more thrills and spills as always. We have, I'm pleased to say, a brand new guest to the show joining us to take us through Ligue 1, Mr. Jonathan Johnson, French Football Weekly writer and ESPN's PSG blog writer as well, joining us on the show. Jonathan, pleasure to have you making your debut, mate. How are you?
Hi there, Oliver. I'm fine. Thanks very much. And thank you very much for having me on. I'm absolutely delighted to be finally making an appearance.
Always a pleasure. You know, it took time, but he's come through, the youngster, and he's got himself in the starting 11 today. And any nerves at all about any nerves about the debut performance, mate?
No, not at all. Just looking forward to making a good impression and kissing the badge.
Always like to see that. Always like to see that. Fans' favourite for sure already. Jonathan, it's always a thrilling time in French football in terms of the title race. We saw it last year with Montpellier. This year again, PSG just unable to just stretch away, falling at Reims this weekend as well to 10 men. Reims, what went wrong for PSG today on Saturday?
I think the biggest problem is that the players are just suffering at the moment from a lack of application to task, really. I think, without wanting to pick out a few names in the PSG starting lineup, there's just too many players there that sort of look forward to these prestigious Champions League clashes and the really big games in the league. But then when it comes to sort of their bread and butter and, you know, picking up 3 points against smaller teams, they're just unable to do it. They just it's like they just can't take some opposition seriously. They can beat their big rivals Marseille 2-0 back-to-back in the space of 3 days in the league and then go and lose to a team that hadn't won in 18 matches going into Saturday's clash, which is just phenomenal given the talent that they were boasting. It was summed up for me really when Leonardo came out after the game and said that PSG are not a team built for that kind of game. I mean, if they're not built for that kind of game, you know, games that you're going to have to win if you're going to put together enough points to win a title at the end of the season, then, you know, what's this team put together for? It was a real throwaway comment and PSG not scoring many points on or off the pitch at the moment with their attitude towards games like that.
How much are you putting then on the players? How much are you putting on the managerial staff at PSG? Who is at fault? Is it both sides?
I don't think it's both sides. I mean, as far as I can see with Ancelotti and listening to what he's saying, he has his priorities in check. He's focused on the league, knows the importance of bringing a first title in 19 years to the club, and that for him is more important than a deep run in the Champions League. Obviously, everybody's very excited about the possibility of reaching the quarterfinals of the Champions League 8 years after their last appearance in the competition. So that, you know, that's weighing on people's minds a lot. But the problem is, for me, PSG are a big team in the making, but at the moment they don't have the same mentality as the really big clubs, the Real Madrids, the Manchester Uniteds, the Barcelonas, those sorts of teams that are able to separate themselves from the Champions League when they get back into domestic action and don't always take their eye off the ball domestically. Okay, Real Madrid, perhaps not the best example of that, but, you know, Barcelona, Manchester United, the likes of Bayern Munich as well, all teams that are able to juggle both European football and domestic football
Is that kind of something that you learn over time as a football team, or is it something that either you have or you don't have with the squad of players that you've got?
No, I think it's something that you learn over time. I mean, you look at the amount of quality players that PSG have in that squad, and, you know, they have so much experience at the highest level. They should know how to handle this sort of situation, and I think they do. The problem is it's just such a potent mix of players. There's some players who just have lots and lots of experience at the highest levels. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Thiago Silva, David Beckham, Thiago Motta, those sorts of players have been there and done that at the highest level. You know, that you're then mixing them with players that haven't really won anything of note and are relatively inexperienced. And then you have a few sort of guys in the middle. And the problem with that is it takes time to foster that winning mentality. And that's what the problem is for Ancelotti at the moment. He's trying to foster this belief within the players that, you know, they can go out there and win every game. And I think we've seen it a couple of times this season. I mean, particularly before the home defeat to Rennes and the home defeat to Saint-Étienne. PSG perform poorly in the league before they play in the Champions League. It's like a reverse Champions League hangover.
it's a case of keeping the eye on the prize in the league before they get distracted by the Champions League. You mentioned there John, the youngsters in that side. Of course, somebody who impressed so early on at the beginning of the season was Verratti, the youngster coming in from Serie B, inexperienced at top flight football, and has gone off the boil slightly along with the rest of this PSG side. Is he being brought down by the people around him, or is this an inexperience that's kind of resulted in this slight slip in form over the last couple of months?
I mean, I wouldn't say that the whole team is down at the moment. Yes, they lost to Rams, but I mean, their form this year generally has been very impressive. Otherwise, I think with the in the case of Verratti, Verratti is a very, very talented player, but also very, very inexperienced. I think you see that in the amount of bookings that he picks up during games. He has to sort of stamp that aggression and that enthusiasm out of his game a little bit. And being enthusiastic on the pitch is no bad thing, but sometimes in Verratti's case, it leads him to being overzealous in challenges. And he impressed at the beginning of the season when nobody really expected that much of him. So he was, you know, he's almost like a breath of fresh air with Thiago Motta injured, and nobody was sure of the role that Matuidi would play. As the season's progressed, Matuidi's become a key player. Verratti was a key player up until Christmas, and then sort of after that, Ancelotti's come out and criticised him a few times. And I don't think it's because he's not favoured anymore at the club. I just think it is that people at the club and fans and people that watch PSG playing week in, week out as well have realised that it's too much to expect of such a young player to play with, perform with the same consistency that he was performing at the beginning of the season all the way through a whole calendar year. I mean, people forget that he's only 20 years old. And I think that for Verratti, his progress and his development needed to be slowed down a little bit, and Ancelotti has recognised that, which is why we're not seeing him in the starting lineup as often as we were at the beginning of the season.
And if Ancelotti can take that Italian mentality, Verratti will still have another 20 years left of playing time, as the Italians love to keep players playing as long as they can. At PSG then this week have got Valencia at home in Paris in the second leg of the Champions League knockout stage. What changes from this PSG side that played on the weekend in terms of players, in terms of style for this Champions League night?
Well, you won't be seeing Zlatan Ibrahimovic and you won't be seeing Verratti because both are suspended. So in terms of style, I mean, interestingly, PSG won't actually now have a focal point going forward. And sometimes I feel that that should allow them, at least on paper, to play a much more entertaining style of football. I'm not one of the hecklers, as Ancelotti and Leonardo called the fans that were booing Ibrahimovic in his recent poor performance against Marseille. But I think that when Ibrahimovic isn't there, there's the team are freed to play a different style of football. And they, given the players that they have, who are just so fast and have fantastic control of the ball, you're going to see the likes of Lucas Moura, Ezequiel Lavezzi, maybe even Kevin Gamero come to the fore in a game like this.
What about the impact of losing Ibrahimovic in terms of the motivation of this side, though? Because they struggled so much without him at points in the early part of the season. Have they got over that inability to win without him? Because this is a Valencia side that knows Champions League football very well.
I mean, I think they have. They have got over that. The thing for the team right now is that they need to find a way to encompass all of their attacking talent. I mean, for example, Lucas Moura has been fantastic since he arrived, but he hasn't really been given time to settle into his position. He's fantastic all over the pitch, and when he gets on the ball, he's brilliant, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's adapted to PSG's style of play just yet. And PSG will shape the team around him given time. But I mean, Ibrahimovic guarantees you goals, or nearly always guarantees you goals when he plays. So I just think it was a product of the team getting used to playing with Ibrahimovic that when he was missing earlier on in the season, of course they missed him, because all of a sudden their focal point, their talisman, the guy that had been getting all the goals for them, suddenly wasn't there, and they hadn't played any other way without him. So Ibrahimovic not being there is a problem, but it's also a blessing in disguise in some ways, because it allows the team around him to develop without him, so that when he isn't there, they can still perform. And then when he comes back, he immediately takes his place back at the head of the team. But last time out at Valencia, we didn't see the likes of Jeremy Mendes. So I think in this sort of game, when PSG are going to need to be more direct, try and put the game to bed early, so players like Mendes and Moura are going to be particularly important to Ancelotti's side.
Talking about PSG at the moment, you can't not mention David Beckham, of course, who landed there at the end of January and has had his first start. He's had a couple of games now off the bench as well. What's been the reaction to his performances? How do you see Beckham fitting in with this PSG side at the moment?
I mean, before the Rams game, he'd been playing very, very well. He impressed in his debut against Marseille, having played just 16 minutes, looked very sharp, surprisingly so, in fact, and then got his chance in a full debut where he played 85 minutes against Marseille again in the cup, though this time the last Wednesday, so just 3 days after that debut that he had on the Sunday night. Surprisingly, at least in my opinion, he was played against Rams. He came on as a substitute, and I didn't expect Ancelotti to do that. I think Beckham has proved that he has something to offer the team. Ancelotti and Leonardo are very happy with his arrival and especially happy with his reaction. There was a lot of criticism beforehand that he wasn't really going to add anything on the pitch, and he was brought in solely for marketing purposes. He's shown since he's arrived that he has something to offer this team, and I just think it was a massive risk playing him against Rams, exposing him to that sort of game if they really did have plans to play him against Valencia. Thiago Motta is now back fit. He didn't feature at the weekend, but he should be available for selection against Valencia, and that's a massive boost for PSG. Motta's importance to the team as that sort of metronomic calming influence in the midfield allows Matuidi to play with a little more freedom. So I think it all depends on his fitness, really, whether we see Beckham play or not.
Do you think Beckham makes a big impact off the pitch as well with this PSG side in terms of a leadership role? Of course, so experienced, such a familiar face in football in general. Or do you think he is just there just doing a job on the pitch for these 5 months or so that he's in Paris?
Fantastic influence to have. You just have to look at the amount of young players in the team that have already come out and said, David Beckham was a footballing idol when they grew up. For them to be training on the pitch with him every day and then playing with him at weekends and in big games in midweek like the Valencia one or the cup fixtures, it's huge for some of those players. And you look at the likes of Lucas Moura, you look at the likes of Clement Chanton, Mamadou Sakho, even somebody like Pastore. Pastore was brought in for a phenomenal amount of money but hasn't actually won anything in his career of note yet. So for Beckham to come in and sort of show these guys the ropes, pass on some of his experiences, is something that Ancelotti and the club couldn't really put a price on.
What about the rest of Liga? Of course, we had Lyon falling up to stumbling against Brest, Marseille getting a win against Troyes. Brest and Lyon, though, this was a huge opportunity, and again Lyon haven't been able to take it when PSG stumble.
Yeah, I mean, I think sticking with the theme of experience from the Beckham conversation, conversely, it's not just PSG that have inexperienced players in their team. Lyon also, despite the fact that they've been title challengers for so many years in Ligue 1, the players that were playing there at the time have now mostly moved on. And this Lyon team is a very exciting young team, but with young players, that means they have a lack of experience. So these players are learning what it takes to play for a big team like Lyon and to be challenging for the title every season. And for them, this is a massive learning curve. And I think we've seen at times when the pressure is on Lyon that they tend to choke. I mean, a lot is made of the fact that PSG have been unable to pull clear of Lyon and Marseille this season. But, a lot has also been made of the fact that Lyon can never fully capitalise on the opportunities that they're passed by PSG.
And what about this powerhouse that is Saint-Étienne coming up from fourth place at the moment, but unbeaten in their last six and storming through Ligue 1? And Marseille and Lyon, rather than looking up and ahead at PSG, are they starting to turn their shoulders and be worried about one of these sides missing on a Champions League spot?
I think if I was a Marseille fan or a player or a member of staff, then yes, I'd be very worried about Saint-Étienne. They're playing with alarming consistency right now, but it's fantastic for the league. Saint-Étienne are one of the most historical teams in France, if not the most. I mean, their exploits in the 1970s when Michel Platini was playing for them, is the stuff of folklore in French football. So to see them returning to their rightful place towards the top of Ligue 1 is a massive plus for the league. They've been playing very well this season. There's some very talented players there. I'm sure everybody in England and possibly America as well has heard about Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, the striker that's leading Saint-Étienne's charge towards a Champions League place at the moment. It would be massive for French football to have a club with as much character as Saint-Étienne return to the Champions League. I'm not saying that I would prefer to see them there at the expense of the likes of PSG, Lyon or Marseille, but Saint-Étienne are a special team in France. And to have them representing the country on the European stage again would be huge. And with Saint-Étienne coming up on the rails again. That, you know, it sort of brings the rivalry with Lyon to the fore. For so long, Saint-Étienne were the poor relations of the rivalry with Lyon, and now, you know, they're actually genuinely going to compete with Lyon, hopefully for the next couple of seasons, and if not, maybe further in the future.
It's not just about Aubameyang, though, at Saint-Étienne, is it? Because Brandao scored 9 for them. They've got plenty of goal scorers on 3 or 4 goals this season already. I mean, there's a real teamwork about this effort that's being put up the table. It's not just focusing on one man, even though Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is obviously the star at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there's some fantastic players in that team. Like you said, Brandao, I mean, he's something of a nomadic figure in European football. People remember him from his time with Shakhtar Donetsk, and then when he went to Marseille. He's really come good for Saint-Étienne. He's providing perfect foil for Aubameyang at the top, and it's, you know, they're a very exciting tandem to watch. They've also signed Yohan Molo from Nancy in January. He's been a fantastic addition to the team. Very exciting player, very talented. He's almost sort of a French equivalent of Cristiano Ronaldo, particularly when it comes to his off the field antics. But there's also some sort of unsung heroes in this team as well. There's a lot of talent in the current squad. I mean, you look at the likes of Mathieu Bodmer, who was recently signed from Paris Saint-Germain. He's a fantastic player and a great addition to the team. Unfortunately, Jérémy Clément will now miss the rest of the season thanks to a horrific injury sustained against Nice in the match just gone at the weekend. But he's been a fantastic presence for them in the midfield this season. Renaud Kohad and Romain Hamouma as well in that midfield. You know, fantastic workaholic players that have provided plenty of goals for Aubameyang this season. Then further back the pitch, you've got the likes of Stefan Ruffier in goal, who's fantastic and should really be recognised as an international by now. And they have a rock-solid defence as well. And it's a very well-put-together team, and Christophe Galtier has taken his time to construct this squad. But now they're fighting for success on 3 fronts, and you wouldn't bet against them.
Jonathan, just quickly before we let you go here on WFD, I'd like to know a little bit about yourself personally, if that's all right. Just a PSG fan, I presume, with being based in Paris and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, people will look at it and think, oh yeah, PSG fan, how long for? Was he there before all of the QSI money? I was, actually. I'm 25 now. I'm a freelance French football journalist, but I lived in Paris when I was younger. I arrived there when I was 15, so that's a good 10 years ago, just over, actually, almost 11 years ago. And I spent 3 years living there, and that's when I sort of started following PSG. And I went back to England to finish my studies at university and go to work, and then decided one day that I wanted to write about French football, become a foreign football journalist, and that's why I'm now here in Paris making that happen. As you mentioned, I write for ESPN on PSG. I also have the FrenchFootballWeekly.com that I run with Andrew and a group of dedicated French football fans. And also, I write for Sky Sports on all things French football, as well as doing TV work over here in Paris. So it's football for me, but my connections with PSG go back quite a while.
Oh yeah, that's what they all say, John, and that's what they all say, mate. Just finally then, have you got
I was there, I was there when they were terrible. I was there the last time they were in the Champions League, and it was dark days then, so significantly brighter now, but some things don't change.
We'll let you off then. We'll let you off the glory hunting chant for now. Just quick, have you got a team in the UK as well, bearing in mind that Sheffield United and or Celtic are the wrong answers in this one?
Oh, well, I don't know. I think I probably have a wrong answer then that runs them quite close. I'm a Villa fan.
Not so bad. not so bad, but I can see why you're supporting PSG now rather than Aston Villa at this moment in time, Jonathan.
It's funny, the amount of people that write or take an interest in French football, the amount of them that are Villa fans or started as Villa fans, it's crazy. There's something in the water around Villa Park just puts people off football.
You've got to distract yourself from what's going on there in some way, shape or form, and there's no better way than to do it with a bit of French football. Jonathan, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, mate. We look forward to getting you on as soon as we can to talk a little bit of French football once again, and best of luck to your boys on Wednesday night, I have to say.
Thanks very much. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to making another appearance soon.
Cheers, Jonathan. Take care, mate. Have a good afternoon. Jonathan Johnson there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Ligue 1. You can follow Jonathan at John Le Gossip. That's at capital J-O-N underscore capital L-E capital G-O-S-S-I-P, John Le Gossip on Twitter. And of course, we will be trying to get Jonathan back on the show as soon as we can to get into a little bit more French Ligue 1 action, of course, with PSG taking on Valencia in the Champions League this week. It's a big Champions League week. It is, of course, a Europa League week as well. There's plenty more football coming your way here on World Football Daily. Stay tuned and we'll be right back with a little bit more after this very quick break.